I am your host, Chelsea Blank, the Natural Areas Conservation Planner with the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. On this episode, we are talking with Ashley Chesser, the Communications Director from the Wild Farm Alliance. Today, Ashley is here to discuss the Farmland Flyways Program, a national initiative to map farms that are utilizing practices to support migrating birds and provide essential habitat for these species during their long journeys. I'm excited to have her join me today on the podcast. So, big welcome to you, Ashley.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Of course. Well, can you start by telling us a little bit about the Wild Farm Alliance and how you became part of the organization?
Yeah, sure. The mission of Wild Farm Alliance is to promote healthy, viable agriculture that helps to protect and restore wild nature. So basically, we're helping farmers bring nature back to the farm. And Wild Farm Alliance was established in the year 2000 by a group of folks who were interested in the intersection of farming and biodiversity. They came from a variety of backgrounds, but shared a concern for the land and its wild and human inhabitants. So they were interested in coming together to discuss how humans don't have the right to farm nature out of existence, but rather a responsibility to be conservationists and stewards of that wildness. So eventually we became a nonprofit, and over the years we've worked on a variety of issues related to conservation and farming. And currently we have three program areas, farmland wildways, farmland waterways, and what I'm here to talk to you about today, farmland flyways. And then I came to Wild Farm Alliance after working in a related space for about 10 years, where I was helping farmers and home gardeners manage their pests without pesticides. So I've been interested for a long time in creating healthy spaces in our communities, and I was attracted to working more closely with wildlife conservation, at Wild Farm Alliance.
Well, I already gave a very brief introduction of the Farmland Flyways program, and so did you, but could you please go into a little more detail about the program? So, what are some of the timelines, locations, and who can be involved?
There are now 3 billion fewer birds in North America than in 1970, and that's mainly due to habitat depletion from agriculture and development, from climate change, and from pesticide use. So, in the Farmland Wildway, or excuse me, so in the Farmland Flyways program, we work with farmers across the nation to support birds and provide them places to live or to visit on their migration. Ultimately, helping bird populations grow. So sometimes that means helping farmers directly by installing nest boxes or habitat on their farms. But we're a small team and we want to make a big impact. So we're also hosting webinars and releasing resources to help inspire farmers across the nation and provide them with the technical support they need to get started. As far as timelines, the ultimate goal of the Farmland Flyways program is to inspire the installation of 1 million nest boxes or perches on farms by the year 2050. It seems like a large number, but we can achieve that if just 10% of US farms install an average of 5 structures each. And we recently started tracking our progress on the Farmland Flyways program through a Farmland Flyways trail on our website. And we have about 1,200 structures mapped so far, and we hope to see significant progress on that number in the coming years.
So, what is the importance of having birds present on a farm, and how are farmers benefiting from supporting these birds?
Birds are valuable partners on a farm, as voracious insect eaters or rodent hunters, and putting up nest boxes and perches gives songbirds and raptors more places from which to nest and to hunt pests. And having a variety of pest-eating birds on the farm is always a plus because they consume different kinds of prey. So we like to think of birds as indicators of a healthy, functioning ecosystem. Noisy farms are healthy farms. And we want farmers to take advantage of birds' pest control services at the same time that they're providing birds with habitat or nest bar and excuse me, nest boxes in their fields or along their field edges. So it's, it's mutually beneficial for farmers and birds to be supporting them on the farm.
Are there any like pushback or ideas about potentially having more birds being a threat to the crop on the farms? So is that an
Sure,
impact
yeah.
you
I
guys
mean,
have
I
thought
think we
about?
often will get that kind of initial reaction from growers or others who think of birds as pests themselves. And there are definitely pest birds out there. Generally, we're thinking about pest birds as being the flocking birds, which are often not native to the area. European starlings is one example of birds that are not native to this area and will sometimes take over nest boxes from our bluebird friends. And so, there are ways that we can work on trying to exclude the pest birds. But then there's also some birds that it gets a little squishy where, during the nesting season, they are really helpful because they're feeding insects to their babies. But then later, when the crop is ripening, they might be pests. And so, we do have some resources on our website that people can check out where we talk about, how do you manage pest birds or manage birds that can be both pests and beneficial sometimes during the year.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, because that sounds like that's actually pretty nuanced then at that point, and depends a lot on the timing and the
Yeah.
species. So I could see how that could you could go down a deep rabbit hole with that.
Yeah, I mean, nature's complicated and complex, and there are definitely a lot of nuances in managing a farm.
In terms of like raptors and songbirds, is there like a certain ratio that you usually would strive for that is the most beneficial on a farm?
Sure. It's really going to depend on what kind of farm you have. What are you growing? Do you have livestock? If you have a bunch of chickens on your farm, you're going to want to be careful about attracting hawks or other raptors that might harm your poultry. If you don't, if you're strictly, a vineyard or maybe you've got an orchard, then you want to probably rely a little bit more heavily on some of those raptor species. So, yeah, it's really going to depend on your individual circumstances, kind of which species you want to try and attract.
And that's where the technical support from Wildlife Alliance comes in, right?
Sure, yeah. I mean, we do have a lot of general publications that you can dive into to get help. And then, as we can, we like to offer the technical assistance, individually to farmers.
So, what do birds need for migration and habitat in general? So, what would some of those perches or nest boxes look like and food resources?
Well, generally, like the biggest picture, birds need the same thing that people do. They need food, shelter, water. During the nesting season, shelter can look like a nest box for raising young, but native shrubs and trees are going to provide shelter as well as food for a lot of different birds year round. So we're thinking about, for migrating birds, we're thinking about connectivity on the farm and across the landscape. So there are four main flyways across North America, with Oregon being in the Pacific Flyway. And installing habitat, those native trees and shrubs throughout the landscape is going to provide birds a safe place to stop along the way for shelter and food. And then, we again, we've got some publications that'll kind of go into more specific information on what kinds of plant species you want to install on your farm. What are the kinds of nest boxes you might want to install. So there's, definitely a lot of nuance. The thing that you want to do first often is figure out kind of what birds you have or you want to attract already. So, thinking about what pests you might have on your farm that you want to manage, and then go out on your farm and identify what you can. So if you're out there and you hear some birds but you don't see them, there's some cool apps from the Cornell Lab of Ornithology that will help you identify birds by sight or sound. So the Merlin Bird app, you can pull it up on your phone and record what you're hearing, and it'll tell you what bird species you have.
I love that one.
And then, yes, it's really fun. I take it with me all the time whenever I'm out and about and just trying to figure out what birds are around me. And then if you do catch a glimpse of them, All About Birds will help you identify the birds in your area. So that'll kind of help you figure out, like, okay, what birds do I have? Or, if I really want some bluebirds because I know they're going to help, keep some caterpillar populations down, then I can move to the next step, which would be like figuring out what nest boxes or habitat you want to install. I would kind of recommend starting out with a nest box if you're at all interested in songbirds for insect pest control. It's a really kind of easy introduction to the process. They're relatively inexpensive and widely available. And then we've got, I keep plugging our resources, but we've got a publication called Nesting Structures for Beneficial Songbirds that has that kind of detailed instruction on how far apart you want to put your boxes, where and how to install them, some different kinds of predator guards you can put up so that raccoons or other animals don't get in there, and then some long-term maintenance information. You know, that would be for songbirds. If you are interested in trying to manage rodents, then you could think about a raptor perch, so that hawks and other raptors have kind of a place to perch and look out on the landscape, and more easily take care of your rodents. Barn owl nest boxes are another option. You'll want to kind of check probably all about birds again to see if there are barn owls in your area that you could potentially attract to your farm. Barn owl boxes are a bit more expensive than songbird boxes, so it's a little more of an investment up front, but barn owls are really great rodent predators. They can hunt, I think, one family of barn owls, so like a pair and their young can eat over 3,000 rodents in a year. So
Oh my gosh. Wow.
they can be really helpful if you can attract them to your area.
Yeah.
So.
One interesting thing I've heard before from a retired wildlife biologist was that if you have perches or nesting boxes for owls and then as well as other raptors like hawks, you can kind of have a night shift and a day shift for rodent control. Is that kind of true? Is that a recommendation for folks to?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, similar with songbirds and bats, you can have a night shift come on and take care of the insects that are out at night. So, definitely. Yeah, that's a great strategy. Yeah, I love the idea of a day shift and a night shift, though, because then you don't have to worry necessarily about the competition for the same food because there's also different prey out at night. So, there's plenty to go around.
So just a quick update, if you are now joining us, I am here with Ashley Chesser, the Communications Director with the Wild Farm Alliance. And you are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio 88.5 and 100.7 FM and streaming on KMUZ.org. So you have touched on this a little bit already, but what are some ways to make a farm bird friendly and resilient? I know you touched on the native plants and the structures. Is there anything else, maybe even what not to do on a farm that will make it a bit more attractive and hospitable for migrating birds and birds in general?
Yeah, I talked a bit about nest boxes and perches, but habitat, native habitat especially, is important for birds. And, you know, if you're trying to attract birds, they're going to move onto a farm more readily when their dietary needs are met close by. So having habitat on the field edges, or anywhere that isn't a great spot necessarily for growing crops, you know, steep banks, things like that. Will help provide shelter and food when the pest pressure on your farm is low. So you want them to kind of stick around when there's nothing else to eat. The most effective habitat resembles the natural ecosystem a species evolved to use. So again, pick native plants whenever you can. And then water is another critical component. They need to drink, obviously, but they also need to bathe regularly. So ponds, wetlands, creeks, or even a drip irrigation system can be attractive for birds and increase the possibility of, you know, bringing them onto your farm. To figure out which plants to select in order to support birds, we've got a publication called Beneficial Bird Native Plant Chart. It's got 160 native species to the West Coast that provide various benefits for birds. So you can kind of go in there and it's got them broken up by type, so trees versus shrubs, and kind of help you select which species will benefit. You also you mentioned what not to do. So we definitely don't want to create ecological traps. So, basically attracting birds to an area that then exposes them to harm. And so some three kind of main areas that we're thinking about with that are, pesticide risks, cover crop termination, and then where you locate your nest box. So, both conventional and organic pesticides can potentially cause risks to birds, especially through, direct exposure, but also reducing their insect food base. So, we recommend that if pesticides are necessary, farmers are trying to select products that are the least harmful for birds and, only using them as a last resort. And so we've got another publication called Protecting Birds in Agricultural Landscapes, and it includes a chart with some of the most common pesticides and then their level of harm to birds and what to be thinking about if you're going to use them. With cover crop termination, there are some ground nesting birds that will use cover crops for food and shelter. And so, if you're terminating your cover crop during nesting season, you can inadvertently destroy the nests and the eggs that are in them. And so we give some suggested practices for planning your termination of cover crops in that publication I mentioned. And then for nest box placement, if you're putting up nest boxes along farm roads, that's generally great. And it's easy for you to access the boxes so that you can check on them and see if you've got any birds in there. But if you put them in really high traffic areas or really noisy areas, it can cause harm. Vehicle collision could happen as they're flying out of the box. But then it also can just kind of disorient them if there's a lot of noise around.
And is there's a certain level of maintenance that's required for nest boxes too, is that right?
Sure. It's pretty minimal. At the end of the nesting season, when all of the birds have fledged, you're going to want to clean it each year. So in the wintertime, generally before spring comes around, December, January is a good time. You basically just remove anything that's in there. Partially, you don't want a lot of nesting material to build up because it can get too full and there's just not a lot of room in there for the birds. But there's also the small potential for, like disease maybe to overwinter there. And so just having a clean box. So, yeah, just, use some gloves, remove everything that's in there. It's pretty simple though. It doesn't take too long.
Organic farms sounds like they would be ideal for these bird habitats and these structures to be a part of the flyways program, but it sounds like it is possible to still be able to utilize some pesticides while having a healthy habitat for birds. So it's good to know that it's possible to have a balance if you're careful about it with the pesticide use.
Yeah, we're not going to try and take away tools necessarily from farmers, but we want you to be thinking kind of carefully about the use, and not just spraying preventatively. we should be, following integrated pest management where we're employing other methods to monitor pests, to try and prevent an outbreak from occurring so that you don't necessarily need pesticides at all, but if you do, you would use them kind of sparingly as a last resort. And just, being more aware of what the birds are doing can help you maybe plan if you're going to spray to try and minimize risk to birds.
And is there usually kind of like a transition period? So if a farmer typically uses insecticides to control insects and maybe rodenticide to control rodents, is there a period of time, but they want to switch to using birds for their main pest management? Can they just kind of jump into installing these structures and habitat components and expect pretty quickly to see benefits from the birds, or does it take a little bit of time to kind of see the change?
Yeah, depending on how many birds you're able to attract, you should notice pretty quickly some benefits if you are able to bring in a few birds. I mean, I suppose there is a limit, but there's kind of a lot of opportunity, I guess, to install a lot of nest boxes and see even more impact to the pest populations. So, I think for all of these kinds of things, it's really good to just be monitoring and recording what you're seeing. So, if you have kind of some documentation from previous years as to when the pest pressure started to pick up, and that's when you implemented using some insecticides. Compare it now that you've got some birds around. Is that threshold not as high this year with the birds present, or did it come later that the kind of pest pressure got a little bit heavy? And so, yeah, I mean, you should see some benefits pretty immediately from attracting birds, especially during the nesting season when they're kind of constantly bringing insects back to their babies.
So you did already kind of touch on bird species selection for a farm and kind of determining how to create habitat for the different species that you want to bring on your farm. But are there certain birds that are kind of a higher priority that are maybe in more need of habitat along their migration routes that you're kind of hoping to promote through this flyway program?
Generally, if you're installing a diverse mix of native plants, you're going to be supporting a lot of different species of birds, as well as other wildlife. We're generally kind of pointing to farmers to support the birds that will help them the most with pest control. So, for those songbird nest boxes, I think farmers are mainly seeing western bluebirds and tree swallows. But there's, a whole host of songbird species that are going to be out there using the habitat potentially. Chickadees, wrens, flycatchers, nuthatches. Even though there's probably still an abundant number of bluebirds out there, it's still really good to be supporting them because, in general, bird populations are going down and they can be really helpful for the farm. So, yeah, kind of the ones that we've been promoting most heavily are those bluebirds, swallows, and then the barn owls and American kestrels and some other raptor species.
So, how can folks get involved with the Farmland Flyways program? Would that be reaching out to someone at Wild Farm Alliance or just filling out something on the website?
Yeah, I mean, we would love to see anyone who already has nest boxes or perches on your property to join the Farmland Flyways Trail. You can find it on our website, wildfarmalliance.org, in the Our Work section. And so once you get to the trail, you can kind of see who else is on there. And then there's a link to a form you can fill out so you can add your own farm. And so you'll have your own little pop-up with the information about your farm and what kinds of structures or perches you've got. And then there's like a little bit of basic info about your farm. So, it's a great way to showcase your conservation efforts with potential customers, and to inspire other farmers. So, again, the more connectivity we can create for migratory birds, the better off our avian friends are going to be. And then, if you want more resources to help you get started, I mentioned a few, but we've got a lot of publications and videos and recorded webinars on our website. So I encourage you to check those out. We do have an email list if you want to join that and stay informed about any programming or new resources or events that come up.
Well, that's great to know that even farms that might already even have some structures can enroll and be counted as part of this mission.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely a lot of structures out there that we haven't mapped yet. So we would love to capture those and then using that to inspire more people to take action.
Yeah, and I love that encouragement of those kind of corridors and the connectivity from farm to farm so that birds don't have such a hard time finding their next stopping area and food resource and things. So it's a lot easier for them, less stressful.
Yes, exactly.
Well, is there any other news, events, or words of inspiration you'd like to leave our listeners before we end our talk?
Sure. We do have several webinars and a field day in Oregon coming up this year. We're still in the planning phase, but stay tuned. We hope you'll join us if you can for either a webinar or an in-person field day. You get to see how farmers are supporting wildlife in their operations. And then another exciting thing that we're working on is we're developing an app where you can input the pest species you're trying to manage, and then it will kind of spit out some information telling you which birds in your area will eat those pests, and then which plant species you can incorporate on your land to support those birds.
Oh,
So
wow.
we're really excited about the app. It's been a long
Yeah.
time coming. We should have an early prototype released soon, and then we'll continue to develop it throughout the year. So stay tuned for that.
And I'm excited for the in-person events too. I mean, like I've mentioned before we even got on this call, I've definitely watched some of the webinars. So being able to hang out on a farm and see some of the birds in person would be great.
So yeah, thanks for having me. I guess I can just close by saying to farmers, whether you manage 2 acres or 2,000, integrating birds into your farming practices builds resilience, promotes ecological balance, and enhances the long-term sustainability of our food systems. So,
Yes, it's a great message we want to spread to as many people as possible. Well, thank you so much. I have one extra, just fun bonus question.
sure.
What is your favorite bird?
Well, my favorite song is the Swainson's Thrush. Partly it's one that migrates all across the West Coast, all the way up into Alaska. And so I've been able to hear it while I've been camping in many different
Oh.
places in North America. And so I just think it's such a beautiful song.
Great. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for all of that inspiration and kind of briefing us on this really great program. I really hope that farmers are feeling inspired to not only take action by installing some structures, but even just inputting their farm on this program if they already have some structures and can contribute to that 1 million structure goal. I really am, fingers crossed that you reach that. I'm rooting
Thank
for you
you.
guys. Well, I've been talking with Ashley Chesser, the Communications Director with Wild Farm Alliance, about supporting migrating birds through the Farmland Flyways Initiative. You can learn more about this program and view bird tracking maps at wildfarmalliance.org/farmlandflyways. And I'm your host, Chelsea Blank, the Natural Areas Conservation Planner for the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Conservation Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed our conversation on the Wild Farm Alliance Farmland Flyways Initiative. Every effort counts, and together we can make a difference in conserving our natural resources. If you would like more information on this topic, please visit our website at marionswcd.net and our Facebook page for follow-up information and resources on how you can contribute to local conservation efforts. Also, sharing this podcast with others is a great way to spread awareness and encourage positive action. And if you liked what you heard here on Conservation Spotlight, tune in next month to KMUZ at 100.7 or 88.5 FM, the third Wednesday of every month during Willamette Wake Up. Thanks for listening and keep up the conservation conversation.